Proyecto Fernando Velázquez. Se despide Norma Martínez.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
Y gracias para Informativo Pacífica. Ahora es la programa Bathrob Spears Broadsides en inglés. Mi español es muy malo, qué lástima, pero espero que se puede entender en inglés los que hablan español. And for those of you who don't speak Spanish, we're coming up on an English show. It's Bathrob Spears Broadsides, and my apologies that I don't have a translation into Spanish. I wish I did. I wish my Spanish were good enough, but... I'll keep trying. We do have a caller. Let's see who's on the line here. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hi, Robert. It's Carolyn Bininski. I'm with the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center.
All right, Carolyn. Let me see if we can get a mic level. Can you talk a little either closer to the phone or louder?
Yeah, I can. How's that?
That's better.
Yeah.
And, Carolyn, you are calling from Boulder, Colorado?
I am.
And I know you're with Home, right?
I am.
Home is what?
HOME is, and now you are asking me exactly what it stands for, but it is the group of homeless people and their allies who have been trying to get the Boulder City Council to allow them to sleep in Boulder. And right now, since the shelter closed and the overflow closed, there are no places legally where people can sleep and have something over them. They can sleep with their clothes only. So this is a real problem because in Boulder it gets rather chilly even at this time of the year. In fact, we've been having snow this week and rain. And so people are basically trying to scamper to find places to stay. And the homeless and their allies have been for months going to the city council meetings over and over again and saying, oh, please extend the hours of the shelter, of the months that the shelter is open, or designate some places, other places where we can be, and the council has declined to do so. So this weekend they're going to have 3 days of events, and they're going to sort of have... we're going to be down by the municipal building where the city council meets and makes its decisions. And from Saturday through Monday, there will be, homeless folks will be down in this area and meeting with people in the community. Then there'll be a potluck at 6. At 7, there'll be stories of homelessness. And then at 10, there will be a sleep out with people to try and get the council to pay attention to the pleas.
This is all going to be on Saturday night? Or?
No, it's the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night, so it's 3 days in a row.
So every evening there's going to be a potluck and then a stories and then a sleep out?
Yep. Wow. And then we'll also be doing a nonviolence training for people who want to join the sleep out.
And has this been done before in Boulder in any organized way?
No. We have not. We've had a demonstration, but we've never done a sleep out. So this will be the first time.
Now, I've just gotten back to your original press release, which I'm trying to pull up clearly on my screen, and I think I have it. We're talking with Carolyn Bininski, is that
Bininski.
Right?
Bininski.
Sorry, Carolyn.
Yeah, that's okay.
And I noticed that Home is described as a homeless organized for more equality.
Right, we changed our name. That's why I was a little stunned when you first said, well, what does that stand for?
What were you before?
It was, now you're asking me that. It was something like a moratorium. And I'm forgetting the exact. We just call ourselves moratorium, homeless for more moratorium endeavor or something like that, but
looking for the HOME acronym or the HOME
So we I think recently people felt like they wanted to make it broader, so it's
how many council meetings. First of all, are you homeless yourself?
I'm not.
And what got you involved?
Well, I work with a group called the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center. I'm on the staff here, and we are, we work for peace and justice issues, and we've been doing stuff around economic justice, and got approached by some of the homeless folks and just have been helping them out.
You know, in Santa Cruz, which has, you know, got the big liberal reputation, the organizations like the Resource Center for Nonviolence, or I like to call it the Resource Center for Scott Kennedy or for Inaction, is very concerned with peace and justice for the Palestinians or for Guatemalans or maybe even for, I don't know, people being arrested at the Republican National Convention, although that's a little unclear. But when it comes to challenging the local political establishment, they don't do diddly squat. And similarly with the American Civil Liberties Union here in Santa Cruz. How did you persuade, or how were you persuaded, your organization to actually get involved? I take it that the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center hadn't been much involved before, or had it?
Well, we hadn't been so involved recently. One of our staff person many years back had been involved in very similar kinds of issues here in Boulder, but it had been many years. No, we hadn't been involved. We just hadn't been approached, and you know how it is. There's always more to do than you can possibly do. So, you know, we were working against the war. We were working on the issue of Israel-Palestine. We've been doing other work around the economy to educate the public. So we hadn't been approached. We really weren't aware of the fact that they were getting all these camping tickets for sleeping in bulk, so-called camping tickets for sleeping in Boulder.
Well, we can't say that the Santa Cruz liberals aren't aware that our homeless folks here aren't getting the same kind of camping tickets and worse in Santa Cruz. So we don't have that excuse for them. But what about your other organizations? I should say, rather, what about the city council? Did your organization, like, endorse any council members? And did liberals generally in Boulder, Colorado, endorse council members that were elected and then sat on their hands or turned away or, you know, don't want to address this issue? What's that next?
Well,
slide?
We don't endorse candidates because we can't. We're a 501c3.
Gotcha.
You know, I think that there are council members who are sympathetic. They, I guess they feel squeezed first by the fact that the economy is in bad shape and the city doesn't have the funds it needs for all the things it wants. That's one issue. And then the other issue is, of course, there are people in our community that don't like to see homeless people and, group of merchants, I think, who press the council one way or the other, and it's always the not in my backyard kind of thing. And so the council, you know, says we don't have any place to do this, and we don't want to spend our limited resources, and we're already spending enough, and we don't have money for other needs like hunger. And, you know, so clearly there's a bunch of things that they are being pressured by.
They have their reasons for making it a crime for people to sleep at night who are poor and homeless, in other words.
Well, and exactly. I mean, I think that, you know, people need to sleep, you know, and if you are waking them up and if you are using your limited resources harassing poor people, then you got to change that, you know.
How long have you been involved with this campaign?
Oh, probably since December, really, mainly. I mean, I had become aware of it probably in October, but at that point I wasn't able to do it, but I think I became mostly involved.
What's the reaction of the council and the local media to this campaign?
Well, the local paper, The Camera, has actually been pretty good about covering it, and their stories are pretty good, you know? I mean, But what happened with the council was in the winter when it was really cold, although, you know, if you've ever been to Colorado, it can be winter up until June. As I said, we got snow this week. Well, we got snow, maybe it was last night we got snow. But there basically hasn't been any shelter for since the 1st of May. But the council did give $5,000 to the Boulder Overflow group, which is kind of an additional group to the traditional shelter here. And they use churches, and then they just have, you know, bare bones staff that is there. So it's not a real, it's a much cheaper way of doing it, I guess, than the traditional shelter.
How many homeless, or what percentage of the homeless population were served this winter by these facilities?
Well,
in Santa Cruz, it's about 10% in the winter, and maybe 5% or less during the late spring, summer, and early fall.
Well, I think it's higher than that here, because I'm told that the shelter has their overflow is, I mean, their emergency shelter is over 100 people, and the Boho is about 60, but they never turned anyone away. I've been told they never really turned anyone away. So anyone that wanted shelter when Boho was open, but Boho had limited funds, so they only were able to be open when the temperature went below, I forget the exact amount, and when it was snowing out, it was a little higher. I think when it was snowing, it was 32 degrees and snowing, and when it wasn't snowing, it was like 20 degrees, which is still really cold. And the only reason they set those guidelines was because they had limited money.
Boho is a National Guard shelter, or it's a...
It was actually started by a homeless man named Jim Budd, formerly homeless man. And he just got churches to agree to give their, to, you know, basically donate their space once a week. And so he had five different churches. And then when the criteria was met for the shelter to be open, they would just call the church and they would get the word out and people would be able to go out there. See, here in Boulder, with the shelter, people are limited to 90 days. So once your 90 days are up, you didn't have any options. So Boho has been able to meet that need. So, you know, I don't know, you know, we talk about this, how many people actually didn't go to Boho when it was open.
When did it close?
It closed about two. I mean, I think if there was a major, major snowstorm, they might be open because they still, I think they still have a little money, but they don't have much left. And so I think they basically haven't been open for a couple of weeks. They were not open last night or the night before.
How many people in Boulder are there, and what percentage are homeless in your view?
Oh, there's over 100,000 people. I think it's 103,000. And I've been told that the figure for is something like 550 people. But the actual people on any given night who don't have shelter when the shelter is closed and when Boho is closed is something like 250. So I don't know what that percentage is, but it's, you know, it's not a huge, it's not a huge percentage. But, you know, we do have a substantial number of low-income people in Boulder because we have a number of mobile home parks, and we have, a significant amount of low-income housing. But, you know, clearly we don't have enough. The city has just adopted a 10-year program which adopts this model called Home First, which is, I don't know if you've heard about that.
Oh, yeah,
model.
Yeah. It's more like bureaucrats first and studies first, as far as I've heard.
Yeah.
Has very little to do with providing housing and jobs, and really has to do with studying the program to death and making it look like you're doing something.
Huh, okay, I don't know that much about it. So
yeah, I just know in different cities. I don't know about Boulder. We had recently I was part of a homelessness marathon in Detroit. They have one every year. You may have heard of it. It's the annual marathon. Although I don't think we got much from Boulder. It's too bad. I mean, often cities are disconnected. You know, homeless folks in different cities don't have any kind of unifying network, and that's what I'd like to see more of. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the 10-year plan to end homelessness is kind of, it's not just a joke. It's really a kind of a cruel irony, because if you go to Fresno, California, you'll find the mayor gets, you know, millions of bucks from this group and doesn't distribute it on homeless programs. I mean, the money is available but not used. And so
It's, to me, it's always looked like a shell game. You know, it's kind of looked like a cover. But you, but perhaps in Boulder, it's different. You go ahead with what you were saying.
Well, you know, like I said, they just adopted it. It's, you know, there were a number of different organizations that serve homeless people who met for over a period of more than a year, I think. And then about a month ago, they brought their findings to the council, and they basically said that they wanted to adopt this Home First program. One thing that's been significant, though, is that the council has really, when they appoint these committees and commissions and stuff, they don't include the homeless in them. You know, it's the service providers. It's not actually the homeless.
We like to call them poverty pimps down here. At least I do. Meaning they're people who's, you know, who essentially get paid to, instead of putting money directly into real shelter costs and real homeless, you know, direct homeless support, it goes to essentially support the people who are paid to somehow screen the homeless, show the homeless how to read and write, you know, help fill out forms on the homeless, and so forth. That's, you know, it's just, forgive me for my, well, you don't have to forgive me.
Well,
that's,
you know, I don't know, I don't feel like I have know enough to say that, but I do think that any conversations about homeless people should include homeless people. You know, any plans for how to deal with the issue of homelessness should have homeless people be part of it, and that, I find that a little grating that, you know, that they aren't included. They aren't called. We have had some meetings with the city council, one-on-one, and I think those were good, and with the city manager, where the homeless were able to, you know, really discuss some of the issues. But when these committees to with service providers are put together, they and there's those kind of meetings, they don't invite even one representative of the homeless community to
come. I mean, I think that you are taking the action that may ultimately, if you get enough support and you do it frequently enough and it cuts deeply enough, may actually change how that is viewed by those in power. I tend to believe, you know, along with guys like Frederick Douglass, who used to say that power concedes nothing without a demand. Mm-hmm. And you are, unless you establish some independent power, they have no interest in really helping you. They have interest in appearing to help you because, you know, they don't want to appear to be completely illiberal, particularly in a place like, and I'm told Boulder is a fairly liberal community in some sense, though I don't quite know what that means anymore, really. You know, we have a liberal president who's bombing the hell out of Afghanistan and, you know, supporting repressive legislation at home. So I don't know, you know, liberal is as liberal does. We're talking here on the line with a representative of Home, or are you a representative, a spokesperson?
Well,
Carolyn
I'm not the spokesperson for Home. I work with the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center. I am on the staff here.
You're kind of spreading the word about Home.
And I normally would have a homeless person be representing because I think that they need to represent themselves, but I just got your email an hour
No,
ago.
I appreciate that. I sent it to you, 20 minutes ago.
None of them have cell phones, so I just decided to call you.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that, Carolyn. And if somebody wants to invest in a cell phone for an actual real homeless person so that I could talk to them directly, particularly during this, I'll be back, you know, as you know from my email, I do a show on Sunday mornings. Love to hear from them directly. And this is not to, you know, in any way demean or dismiss what you're saying, because, you know, you're fast reacting time. I appreciate your letting us know what's going on. We had an interview last week with David Harrison, as you know.
Yes.
And that's archived for those of you who, and I don't know if you're listening to this in Colorado, if anybody is.
I actually heard you last week.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, you heard Dave, too.
Yeah, I did.
You know, I mean, that's... I have a very selfish motivation here, which is I like to see homeless people here. And potential supporters here realize that, you know, that we're not alone, that this is a struggle being waged in cities all over the country, and that there are different methods being used, some more successful, some less successful, but all needing, you know, mutual solidarity and support. And along those lines, is there anything that people listening to this broadcast in Santa Cruz, either through emails or phone calls or, I don't know, snail mail or... whatever you might suggest, should they call the the newspapers in Boulder, or, you know, write them a letter? Should they contact the mayor and the city council by email? Maybe what you can do is send me relevant email addresses and a potential letter, and I'll pass it on to people here so that the Boulder, Colorado bureaucrats can know that there are those outside Boulder who are looking in and watching with a critical eye.
I can do that, but people could also go to the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center website, and at the very top of the page, it says homeless events this weekend, and then if you click on that and you go down to the bottom of that email, it's the city council's addresses on there, and so people could write to the city council. And I can also send it to you if you prefer, but that's an easy way. If they just go to our website, click on the very top item. Again, it's something like weekend events for homelessness or support homeless.
So go to the Rocky Mountain website, Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice website. Click on, you know, what the word homeless shows up somewhere in there.
It's just the very top item on the front page.
Top item, and you'll find the relevant email address to send stuff to.
To the city council. And, you know, ironically, last week they said that they would not, they're boycotting Arizona, basically. They're not going to do any traveling there. And, you know, at the same time, our own homeless folks are illegal in our town. So
let me ask you about that too. I mean, is most of your homeless population white? Is it English speaking? Is there a large Hispanic or African American or Latino component?
I don't even know the answer to that. The people that have been part of home have mainly been white folks. But we have an African American woman, and I think one of our women's is part Native American, I think.
You should organize a Boycott Boulder, Colorado movement, dare I say it.
Well, you know, or at least to point out to the council that I've heard actually that there are people who are doing that in Arizona that are not happy with Boulder's position and are pointing out the kind of the incongruity of criticizing others when our own.
Yeah, it's similar to our own, you know, it's what our liberals do here at on the council. They talk about, you know, bad conditions elsewhere, but they defend anti-homeless laws. And that's the other question I wanted to ask you, Carolyn, is that here in Santa Cruz, we've recently seen an influx. Well, 8 new police officers have been hired, many of them assigned to the downtown, purportedly because windows were broken in an incident that happened on May 1st that may or may not have involved any homeless people, but involved, you know, people in black masks who kind of came out of a dance party and smashed windows in a sort of an anti-capitalist demonstration of some kind, while there was a larger, more peaceful demonstration. But there's been a series of previous anti-homeless activities, for example, panhandling meters. I don't know if you've heard about that. It's part of the merchant's attempt to say, let's discourage both not just panhandlers, but people who have a compassion enough to respond to a panhandler and tell them, no, put your money in the parking meter here. And Santa Cruz has an additional twist of the knife because these meters are so placed, they're called artwork. And it means that within 14 feet of these, you're not allowed to sit down. You're not allowed to hold up a sign, even silently asking for money or anything of value. Within 10 feet, you can't perform or put up a political table. And this essentially removes 95% of space on the downtown Santa Cruz sidewalk. So I don't know. Do you have a similar situation in Boulder where they're attempting to restrict public assembly rights for poor people in order to encourage merchant commerce?
Well, actually, there was such a thing a few years ago that one of our staff people was involved in. It was called, it had something to do with, quote, aggressive panhandling, and there are restrictions around that. The ACLU did get involved and was supporting the rights of homeless people to ask for money. I guess, I don't know the exact, that hasn't actually come up in our discussions at our meetings recently, but there was something about people can't be aggressive in their panhandling, but they are allowed to panhandle.
Yeah, that's the pretext used by our local liberal mayor, Mike Rotkin, who bills himself as a socialist feminist and teaches up at the university and, you know, likes to speak out on national issues. But the panhandling law we have, which he voted for, makes any request after dark, however peaceful, however silent, on a sign illegal. Mm. If you hold up a sign saying, I need food after dark, that's a crime. Do it twice within 6 months, that's up to 6 months in jail.
Wow.
And a $1,000 fine.
Wow.
And those fines have been, and actually the jail sentences have been imposed to repeat panhandlers. In fact, they've even gotten injunctions, civil injunctions against panhandlers here, and they're going after two homeless musicians for the crime of sleeping by injunctive relief, which means they're attempting to make one instance of sleeping an immediate jailing offense. Now, I understand in Boulder your sleeping law is a misdemeanor and you get a jury trial, although I guess Dave Harrison, the attorney, chose not to use the jury because he was afraid of public sentiment being against him. Here we would, I think, immediately use juries if we had that choice. But they
I think the problem with jury trials, too, is that you're more restricted in what you can say and do.
I'm not aware of that, but maybe in Boulder it's true. In California, there's no difference except one's before a judge and one is before, you know, 12 members of the community, usually upper middle class members of the community, often retired and elderly members of the community. But, you know, there you have it. Well, again, I want to remind people listening that we are listening to Carolyn of Home, or I should say not a spokesperson, but a person passing on information about HOME, which is the Homeless Organized for More Equality, planning to do a sleep-in this weekend, beginning tomorrow at 2:30. They're going to be at the library, I guess. I see from your press release Terry Sternberg, Mike Fitzgerald, Stacia Simons, David Harrison himself, and Jim Butt are going to be at the library. Are they going to be, what, talking, or are they going to be sleeping?
It's going to be a press conference tomorrow.
Press conference. Okay, I thought it would be interesting to see people sleeping, Dave Harrison sleeping in the library. That would be interesting. To an attorney in a business suit, so no, we're kind of getting down for a nice winter's nap, or actually spring nap, or whatever. This will be going on over the weekend, and maybe you'll be getting back to me, or maybe somebody else will be getting back to us on Sunday with an update?
Yeah, I'll see if I don't have a cell phone actually, but I'll see if anyone's got one. So, and we'll have your number there. What time are you? 9:30 to 1.
9:30, okay. But that would be an hour later for you.
10:30, yep.
Yeah, okay. Do call again. I really appreciate your, you know, jumping at this chance, and I think it's helpful for us, and I think it's, I don't know if it helps you, but I hope it helps
you.
Yeah,
no, it's great. It's great. And again, people can check out our website. It's www.rmpjc.org. RMPJC.org.
And one more time.
RMPJC.org. And just click on the very, very thing at the top of the page. Which
RMPJC. B as in boy. P as in pay?
P as in Peter, yeah.
P as in Peter, okay. .org. All right, I'll put that up, and we actually, these shows are archived, and so those who missed the thrill of hearing both of us talk can get it later. Appreciate it, Carolyn, for calling in, and call again on Sunday, you know.
Okay. Well, I'll try.
Okay. If you can,
thanks.
That'd be good.
Yep.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And, we started the show without my usual musical dibbledy-dobbledy, and because we had an immediate phone in from unexpected, I might say, from Carolyn of Home in Boulder, Colorado, talking about a weekend protest against their sleeping ban. That wasn't something I expected, and, we actually have a response, or perhaps not. Perhaps this is on a totally different subject. Hello, you're on Free Radio. Who are you?
Hey.
Oh.
It's me, man.
Drum Circle Dave, man.
I'm one of the Indians.
It sounds like you're. Are you recovering from a cold, flu, and other problems?
No, I'm just coughing nuts.
Well, I know, Dave.
I've been trying to think about drummers, you know, and what happened.
Yeah, Dave. You've been sending me phone updates and email updates, and you've been regularly showing up at a drum circle in Santa Cruz, in downtown Santa Cruz, on Wednesday. That has been under police pressure. First, it was, you know, it was
scrutiny. I'm telling you, man.
Scrutiny.
I'm telling you, these blue meanies are just Harms, Mr. Harms, man. Not
now
even
that's Sergeant
anymore,
Harms.
Man. It's just Mr. Sniffer.
Now, you know, I know that the drum circle about 3 or 4 weeks ago was moved. Actually, you came to do that drumming, and you found there was Lulu Carpenter's coffee stand sitting in the middle of your where people normally drummed. And that was the case again yesterday when I walked through the farmer's market. I noticed the farmer's market's expansion was very kind of haphazard. Certain areas are now vacated. The one near Total Fitness area behind the Logos bookstore, another area that's a row over, the entire parking area next to the UCSC building, which houses Taqueria Vallarta, is vacant. But they have specifically gone into and taken over the drum circle area. And I talked to a farmer about this, who's a former drummer, too, an old guy like me. He was very... You know, he wasn't hostile, but he was sort of, well, it's already happened. There's nothing you can do about it. The board of directors decided it, and we support our board of directors. And I thought, why the hell is your board of directors driving out the drum circle? You know, what's the point? Don't you realize this is a longstanding cultural event? And, well, you can't. There's no point in fighting. The farmer's market is a great thing, blah, 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 that sort of thing. And I don't deny, I like the farmer's market generally. But, of course, the businesses that are expanding aren't selling vegetables and farmer's market goods. They're selling, they're little downtown, they're kind of annexes of downtown businesses. Or they're selling T-shirts. I mean, it's just like a series of concession stands that's being used, and it's supplanting a community and cultural event, which kind of ticks me off. What do you think there, Dave?
Well, I personally like local vendors. I like to see Lulu Carpenter's out there selling a cup of coffee. So I'm not against local vendors at all. I mean, as long as it's going into the local economy, that's fine. I just wish the farmers would have at least offered some type of assistance in helping us, which we ask for no money. We don't want any currencies from them. Yes, we would like their rotted fruits that they happen to, people don't buy or whatever. You know, sure, we'd eat those. The homeless people, for sure, that come to the circle would take their...
Well, you know, they didn't, as I understand, Dave, they didn't even consult with you. No city officials, no farmers market board of directors, people.
And that's really not Santa Cruzian. I mean, you know, if there's farmers listening, you know, I mean, it's like Santa Cruzian. It's like, hey, you drummers, come over here, man. We have. But that's coming, you know. That's the other thing about the farmers is they will show compassion to the drummers one day. You know, because we do meet the same criteria, you know, as far as like valves.
Yeah, there'll be pie in the sky when you die, Dave. That's what they tell us.
Farmers and drummers. You know,
you're more positive about that than I am.
I am because, you know, you've got to be positive here. Even though the police are definitely sacking drummers, as they did last night on our Indian run.
Well, I want to talk to you about that, but before we just leave we leave this last subject, let me just say that, mm-hmm. You have a right. Your view, and you have your view. My view is you have to look realistically at what people are, you know, allowing to happen. I mean, they let blacks get lynched in the South. You know, they let Japanese get deported on the West Coast. Arizona's passing massive, you know, racial profiling laws, and Arizonans apparently like it, at least many of them. And you get a national poll that came out in today's paper that talks about how a majority of the country thinks the Arizona law is just fine. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to think positively about that kind of crap. I'm just not interested in being positive about it. But, you know, about individual people involved, you know, I mean, even individual cops, I've got nothing negative to say about these people as human beings, but their behavior in terms of repressing drummers, ignoring, you know, the lack of dialogue that needed to happen at the drum before this went down, because the drum circle was, you know, it's a well-known activity. The farmers market people know there's there. The fact they didn't speak up for them or include them in this discussion, to me, is quite telling. But I know that's, you know, let's move on to what happened yesterday. I know that you did move, you and other drummers moved across the street, because you didn't want to play in right next to Lulu Carpenter's. You might upset the coffee drinkers and sellers. Although, interestingly enough, there were people who were providing free coffee to people who are at the drum circle and also free food. Rene Curry and other folks come down there and provide food and sometimes clothing and things of that sort. It's a different kind of cultural scene. It doesn't make a lot of money for anybody, but it provides a sense of community. And it's a kind of, I think it's a thing that's encouraging that I've been supportive of for decades in different contexts. Anyway, you moved to the area right across from Jack's restaurant. And you got hassled there repeatedly, as I've reported on Free Radio, and you, as you've reported for the last 3 weeks. And this time, you moved to the Elm Street parking lot across from the Mission at Elm and Cedar. And you were told by Sergeant Harms that if you came back, you would be ticketed. And that's kind of where we pick up the story. And I'm going to be playing some tape from it. But why don't you tell us, even though it may spoil the surprise, what happened yesterday at Elm Street?
Well, Elm Street was really, you know, just the beginning of the end as far as Harms is concerned. He wants to close it down. At, you know, as soon as he gets one complaint, he's shutting us down. So he's not within his jurisdiction. He's got to amass more than just one person that calls in that says, hey, there's, you know, some drummers down here. We need to...
Dave, give us an account of kind of what happened as yesterday. In other words, what time did you arrive?
Oh, they were there scoping out and busting people for different sessions. Was busted for, I don't know, a drug or something. They searched him. They just picked him out of the crowd and just grabbed him. And some black guy, they grabbed him too and searched him, but they couldn't get anything on him, and they had to let him go. But... yeah, the donuts were served and fresh coffee and fresh water, and everyone was really happy, and we were trying to, you know, groove along, but the constables were there, and they kept threatening and supervising smoking and telling us we had to smoke on the sidewalks and just pointing and sniffing and trying to ram their way through a bunch of Indians that have really hardly any rights as far as they're concerned.
Talking about Indians in terms of yourselves, it's interesting that smoking, you know, it's legal on the sidewalks where there are more people walking by, but in the actual parking lot area where you're not allowed to be because of Vice Mayor Coonerty's parking lot panic law, as I call it, or the trespass law that they call it, which means you cannot be in a parking lot, any of the 20 parking lots or garages downtown that are publicly owned and run with your money, mind you, unless you are parking or retrieving a vehicle or walking through. Why would there be no smoking in those areas? It's very strange. And why would the police want to move in except to harass this particular group?
Exactly. It's just a control measure on us, and they know they're controlling because we don't even play when they're around. You know, I mean, they completely, like, just shut us up like a Nazi tribunal at a crematorium, you know, and we were all the drummers, and they were just like, shut up, you know, and all the, you know, drummers got gassed, you know, and just shut up, Sergeant Harms.
You know, it's interesting. I came down there, and I was there for on and off for a couple hours, and, you know, interviewing people, and the drum. Initially, there were very few people there. Only a couple people with drums. Like, I guess people were afraid to show up because police had originally showed up and said leave to people.
He's just a Nazi chauvinist pig, is what he is. He's just a sniffer. He's a dingleberry grabber.
But you know what I noticed was that as the afternoon went on, more people showed up. They began to play, particularly, you know, I think encouraged by people like Miguel de Leon, Lito, who brought his drums and started playing there. And actually, there was a couple of other people who held the space. And the police said, "Why are you here? Are you gonna, you know, you can, you know, are these your drums? I'm taking care of these drums." And the person watching them stayed. And then more people joined. And then an actual drum circle developed. And finally, I guess I left, and soon after I left, around, 5:30 or 6, I guess, police were able to frighten away drummers or get you folks to believe somehow that if you moved to Scribner Park near the town clock, you would not be bothered. Is that right?
That's correct, but we were still, worked it out with the Serpent Cafe or whatever that is, and the lady told us we could play for 30 minutes. So then we moved from there to the town clock, where it's normally a public area and open till, like, I think, 8 o'clock at night or whatever, and there's no businesses there whatsoever, a bar across the street. And the police just swooped down on us like flies and just said, you can't be here.
How many police?
All you drummers.
How many police, Dave, were coming in on you there?
They completely went over the ordinance and kicked us out.
And how many cops were involved in the town?
Just Schoenfield and some really big Latin man.
And that's probably, you're talking about Officer Lauren Schoenfield, who's the one who ticketed four of us for singing political songs in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz. I remember her.
Exactly, yeah. And we have her profiled as a immediate bummer. You know, like, uh-oh, look out, man. Here's one that needs to make some brownie points. You know what I mean? Because she's a rookie on the force, and she needs to sniff hard.
Who did she say had complained about your, or did she say anyone had complained?
Well, I mean, if they got a complaint, it was their own personal complaint.
Well, did she say that she had received a complaint, or did she say that she felt it was unreasonable?
No, I don't think so. I just think they just came and swooped on us and said, you've got to stop. Another, shut up.
Now you actually, this is an important question. And I wish one of you guys had a tape recorder. Maybe next time you will.
It's getting to the point where we're in a vice down there, and they're just tightening.
The question
screws.
I have is did they say? See, the ordinance that normally they threaten to cite you with is the ordinance on unreasonably disturbing noises, which does allow you to play, but says you cannot play so loudly as to cause physical discomfort to people of ordinary sensitiveness. And that is a different standard than saying you can't play at all. If they're telling you you can't play at all, as I said to you when we talked earlier in the afternoon today, and as you know, that's not what the law says. And therefore, they're actually using color of law to take away your First Amendment right to engage in First Amendment protected activity.
That's correct.
You need to document, A, that happens, and B, somebody has to either... Well, you either have to document it happens or you have to take a citation to the effect, somebody has to be willing to, take the fall and
well,
say, you know.
Well, Pat did in right, my so, story, if I can continue.
Yeah, please continue. So there you were at the town clock. Officer Schoenfield said, get a move on, and what happened?
And we all moved on because we know about the evil citation, the $400.
$445, actually.
Yeah, well, we know it's way up there, and we're all, like, very, we're all jobless, and
if
most
you're
of them
convicted.
Are homeless.
If
and,
you're convicted.
You know, I mean, they don't...
If you're
excuse
convicted.
Me for the motorcycle. They,
I'm sorry,
they
that's,
don't...
that's unreasonably disturbing noise there. Sorry, go ahead.
You're right. Pardon me for the unreasonable... The pipe on the motorcycle that you can find on Pacific Garden
so
Mall
how many
just
drummers,
about 24 hours a day.
How many drummers were you at the town clock, would you ask me? How many people were there?
I'd say there was at least 25 that they broke their constitutional rights.
And so then...
Two officers. They broke our rights.
And did those 25 people continue to seek another place, or did they...
Yes, we moved on to another place, and they broke our rights again.
Where did you move to?
We moved to the Jamba Juice area, right in front of the post office
and,
across the street.
And were
they
you
broke
the,
our rights again
were you,
and told
were you,
us that we could not assemble.
Were you there? Was it the same number of people?
Same number of people, and they broke our rights again there.
And who...
So they've broken our rights, at least... Four times last night.
So
the police officers.
This group that was the whole group held together and simply walked over to Jamba Juice.
Simply and picked up and strapped up and moved on.
And what did who were the police officers? Same police officers.
Same
involved?
Police officer, Schoenfeld and the Latin man, and he said, "You guys can't do this here either. Now move on."
And what basis did she or the other officer say?
Same basis that they were going to issue citations if we didn't move on.
Did they say that they found it unreasonably disturbing or?
Yeah, just they. And we had only been there a few minutes.
There was no
way someone could have called and complained.
I mean, the actual law says that between the hours of 8 a.m. and 10 p.m.
And this was around 7 p.m.
Right. So we're early in the actual, evening. That between between those hours, you are, in fact, well,
so the Santa Cruz police does not mind breaking citizens' rights down all the way to the ground.
Right. Well, this, see, I think that that's why it's important, and not just for drummers, but for musicians, guitarists, political singers. This, again, the ordinance reads, no person shall make, cause, suffer, or permit to be made any noises or sounds which are unreasonably disturbing or physically annoying to people of ordinary sensitiveness, or which are so harsh, so prolonged, or unnatural, or unusual in their use, time, or place, as to cause physical discomfort to any person. The word physical appears twice here. So it has to be something like, you know, like a sledgehammer hurts your ears.
It has to be a jackhammer.
Yeah, but even then, in addition to that, jackhammers would be legal because there's a second section of this law which says even if all those things are true, if it's, you know, physically discomfort, physically annoying, unreasonably disturbing, if it is necessary in connection with an activity which is otherwise lawfully conducted, it's still legal. So if drumming is being lawfully conducted, it is still legal, even if it is, if it's necessary to that activity. And you might say, well, drumming can be loud, drumming can be soft. You don't need to be extremely loud, and that argument could be made. But it could only be made if the officer in question told you, you have to play more quietly because it's a lawful activity, but it might be, I don't know, breaking the eardrums of some poor person a block away, which, frankly, is highly unlikely and probably the reason that drum circles for the last 10 years have not gotten citations, even though they've been, you know, they drum pretty regularly and for a long period of time at the farmer's market over every Wednesday. That's been the case.
Yes, and on top of that, they know who we are. They don't, you know, I mean, they know we're not going to cause any riots or anything. It's just this gauntlet that, you know, that someone probably hired some, you know, vigilantes to go downtown and break some glass, you know? I mean,
that's another issue.
Why?
That
because,
has nothing.
Hey.
Yeah, there's nothing to do with drummers or anything else. But Dave, there you were at the in front of Jamba Juice. You were told to move. What did you guys do next?
Well, we decided to go play behind the Del Mar Theater. You know,
and that's an area that's relatively secluded, or it's right next to a residence, or what's the story with that?
Well, the story with it is we actually went to the newspaper stands on Soquel and Pacific, and we sat up for just a moment, and there were some photographers there taking our pictures, and the police drove right up again, didn't even give us 5 minutes, and said, you can't do that here, so we moved behind the Del Mar Theater. And then we got to play for at least 10 minutes, and then we got ousted again from the back of the Del Mar Theater, where there was no businesses open or anything. It was all parking lot.
Now, let me ask, it was a private parking lot, too, so you weren't even violating Vice Mayor Coonerty's parking lot panic law.
That's right, and there weren't any cars near us behind the Del Mar Theater. There's no parking, just a place where you can get out.
By this time, had the numbers of drummers been cut down, or how many drummers were you by the time you were in the Del Mar Theater lot?
I'd say there was probably at least, to the police, 10 of us were still there drumming.
And what did you do? What did you women and men do then?
Well, the women just, you know, some of us, you know, are very quick on our feet and just disperse immediately. They just have a little hand drum and they're out of there. Me, I've got a bicycle and a bunch of drums, so I've got a strap on, but I can move pretty fast.
We
told the policeman, okay, we'll move on. Goodbye.
Okay, I got you. Go ahead.
And so we dispersed, and Pat went over to a corner on the mall in front of Union Jeans or Outfitters or somewhere around there and set up. And I set up with him for a moment, but we knew we were, you know, probably
that was in front of Urban Outfitters, you
pushing the envelope.
Dave, we're talking about the corner near Urban Outfitters?
Yeah, or the corner, like, right across from, say, Borders.
Oh, across from
and
Borders.
Down
maybe the
on
Gap.
The left
maybe you're talking there. About maybe you're talking about the Gap or something. Around.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and that corner. But, you know, towards, say, the library, you know, that side of the street of Pacific. And that's when Patrick got the ticket.
And was it just you and Patrick who were there, or were
other
people?
There were, like, half of the group. 5 drummers were there. I was packing up, getting ready to go. And a couple of policemen jumped out of a car and told Patrick that he'd already been warned not to play drums at about 9:15 in the evening, and then wrote him a citation. I escaped around a building, the Ritna House.
Now, do we know...
You know, because Annie, if you had a drum and you were just sitting there, you were going to get a ticket.
Yeah, it sounds like you weren't across from Borders. It sounds like you were across from O'Neill's and maybe around the Cinema 9 area, but because that's where the Rittenhouse
still there?
Is. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It sounds like, as I said, you were not... It sounds like you're in your Urban Outfitters, not the Gap. I was trying to kind of place where this happened.
Yeah, just down the street from, like, the public bathrooms. You know, like Soquel, right?
Well, yeah,
you know,
I mean...
New Leaf.
Right, but if the Rittenhouse building is a ways away from there, it's at least a long
What's
block.
What's across from New Leaf, that building? What's that?
Well, that's the Pacific. Are you there? Hello? Hello? Dave?
I'm waiting for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, Pacific Cookie Company used to be, you know, the Gap is there. I think there's a couple of other...
So just that adjoining street that runs into the Pacific Mall... Towards, say, Jack's Hamburgers, whatever that is.
Oh, that's Lincoln. It runs into the New Leaf area?
It's a little bit, east of New Leaf.
Uh-huh. Well, in any case...
The town clock, and it's a street.
Okay, well, you might be talking about Walnut, which is the next street
Walnut.
Down.
Walnut. The corner of Walnut is where Pat got his ticket.
And do we know what he was ticketed for?
Unusual disturbing noises.
Unreasonably disturbing noises. 9.36.020 is the municipal code number.
Yeah, or just disobeying an officer's warning that he should.
Which cops ticketed him? Do we know?
Huh?
Do we know the police officers involved?
Just one that has a New York accent.
A New York accent. I know I've heard that guy before.
Like, he was, like, jumping out of the car, and I knew, man, I felt like I was on whatever that was, that cop show. From New York.
Oh, well, NYPD,
you know,
maybe. I don't know.
NYPD, yeah, man.
I'm not much of a cop show
fan. Santa Cruz, NYPD.
So does this mean that the drum circle is dead? Are you folks planning to come back again? I know that last week there was a drum circle on Thursday, the day after the normal drum circle, and was there one today that you know of, or do you have any information on that?
I have no information on that particular subject. As far as the drum circle in Santa Cruz today that was supposed to happen at the drum circle, I wasn't there with those guys. I'm sorry.
At the old location, you mean right across where the actual drum circle traditionally was for the last 10 years at Cedar and Cathcart? Right?
Yeah, parking lot 4
right.
Is where some drummers were to meet today, but I don't know if they did.
Maybe we'll hear from them, Dave.
They did.
Maybe we'll hear from them. You know, maybe they'll call in. Any last thoughts? I mean,
my last thought is... I think it's this month, the 22nd, at 5 o'clock. You still there?
Yes, I am.
There's a meeting for street performers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like everyone to show up, if they could, at Loudon Nelson Center.
Okay.
On Laurel Street at, 5 o'clock on Saturday in the afternoon.
That's at May 22nd. That's actually, that's about a week and 2 days from now.
Yes, it's got to happen because I'm telling you, man, this is just a warning for all performers, man, whatever you do. We were just given, minutes, you know, to cease and move on. And if we were caught again, we were threatened with big monetary, you know, gains on their side. And left with nothing on our side.
What about next week, Wednesday? Is there a plan to have a drum circle next Wednesday or not?
Well, I'm going to leave it up in the air, but like a lot of drummers told me, they said, hey, you can't stop us. This is a civil right, you know? And just like you can't stop the farmers from selling their goods, you know, you can't stop drummers from drumming. You know?
Well, Dave, I appreciate the update. Maybe the public will weigh in because you're on the main call-in line, although we're supposed to have two. I'm a little confused as to whether we might be able to do a second call. Let's see. If anybody wants to call in and ask Drummer Dave a question, 469-3119, we may be able to put you on the air. If not, we'll put you on the air after Dave hangs up. 469.
There are a lot of people grabbing onto this right now as far as the civil rights issue, so this could really go far.
Right. 469-3119, if you got a comment to make
right to play music.
Or a question for Drummer Dave here before he leaves, 469-3119. We'll give it a minute, Dave, and if nobody calls, we'll just move on, and I'll play some tape from this.
Okay,
and maybe we'll get
thanks a lot.
Hey, no problem, man.
Thanks a lot for the interview. Peace, Santa Cruz.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And maybe time for the infamous musical break. Let's. Why don't we do that? Let's hear a little from Street Songs. There Ought to Be a Law by Street Songs. That's at myspace.com/AzzyReggaeSoldiers. That's like, I think that's Azzy, one of our local African-American singers who sings such tunes. Hey, you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. The name of this show is Bathrobespierre's Broadsides, like Robespierre with a bathrobe, you know. That's me. I'm Robert Norris. I do a show twice a week. I'll be back on Sunday in the morning with a longer show, maybe with some more guests. Who knows? Maybe with your phone calls. And if you want to call in, you can. Phone number here is easy to remember, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772, 427-3772. Phone lines are open in case you want to give a shout-out or a call-in or a grumble or a groan, whatever you'd like, you can do that. Let's hear a little bit now. This is from the drum circle aftermath of last week. There was a drum circle yesterday, but I'm about to play something from last week after this message from our sponsor, The Public. Hi there, you're on Free Radio, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. What's your name, caller?
I'm Jay.
Hey, Jay, what's up? I recognize you, Jay, suddenly.
I always, like, mess with you when you come up to record me. It's just crazy, you know. I turn that down.
Say again? Hello?
I'm just the guy that gets tickets for playing music on the street, like, years ago, but they don't do that to me anymore.
Well, I would hope not, because I know that you play a pretty mean guitar, and they probably should recognize at least quality music. I've heard people complain the drummers can't keep a beat. But, you know, I can't even tell when they keep a beat or not, so I can't really judge that. But have you been having trouble lately, Jay? You say you haven't, right?
No, I haven't. It's all been going pretty smooth. But, you know, usually playing down by the beach more than downtown with all the jackhammering going on, you know. Too much.
Yeah, you don't get tickets for jackhammering, for sure. So maybe you could have a band, you know, a jackhammer and guitar. What do you think?
It's possible if the decibels weren't too loud, it might work out.
Now, you were getting citations before, but what, you got a couple tickets, you took them to court, and they disappeared, or what happened there?
Right, the policemen never show up. It's basically just an embarrassing ticket, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Did it chill you? I mean, did it kind of slow you down? Did it make you feel like you, reluctant to come back to play on Pacific?
Oh, hell no. It's like my God-given right, you know what I mean?
So it sort of made you pissed, perhaps.
Well, pissed off in a good way. It made me get off my ass and stand up for myself.
And did you... So it didn't make you feel like, you know, I better, you know, maybe go to the wharf and avoid Pacific Avenue. Instead, you said, I feel I have a right to play here, and you came back.
That's correct. Yeah, it wasn't easy, let me tell you, but that's what happened, basically.
And did the officers who give you the preview, you got an unreasonably disturbing noise ticket, right, the kind we've been talking about?
You know, the girl at the booth didn't really know what kind of ticket it was, and I don't think anybody really knew.
A mystery ticket.
The mystery tickets. Well, this guy's playing music. Let's give him a ticket. I don't know.
Well, what's your reaction? You've heard this discussion. You've been listening to free radio, or are you just this last half hour or so?
Well, I usually listen to it on Sunday mornings, but we just tuned it in just now.
And what's your sense about the drum circle? Are they a bunch of... are they a bunch of bad drummers who should, you know, be moved along? Are they folks whose civil rights are being violated who should be allowed to continue? Are there? And also, what about the Street Performers Guild meeting coming up on May 22nd at 5 o'clock at Loud Nelson? What do you think of that?
Well, I think that the drum circle thing is it's just human nature. People love getting together and, you know, it doesn't have to make much sense. But it's like sleeping. They need a place to do it. And as far as the meeting, the safe meetings, I just hear it from you guys, you know, and I'm playing it pretty safe, I guess.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, some people think that musicians on the street need protection from the capricious activities of the police department and maybe some complainants downtown. You've experienced that, but you said you kind of, maybe that's not happening to you now. Is that something that... It still interests you, that kind of a union of street performers, or is that something that you're not interested in anymore? What do you think?
Well, I think we'd be backing up, you know, people that we support, you know. We'd be like a vigilante Wild West team, probably. Because it's probably going to get down to that. You know, people are getting fed up, blah, 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 blah.
When you say people are getting fed up, can you be more specific? What do you mean?
I think just not being hassled by the police for just sitting on the, you know, playing music, It's just too much for my head, really.
I mean, I know there's a lot of laws that they tell you can't sit here, you can't sit there. 95% of the sidewalk is illegal to sit on. You can't stand on the concrete lip of a planter that's, you know, an inch and a half off the ground. The entire block in front of the Del Mar Theater is now a no-play zone, though I've seen you playing there, you illegal performer, you.
I know, I'm probably breaking the law right now just talking to you.
Breaking the law, sure. Breaking the law, man. You breaking the law.
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
Hey, Robert, I got to go, man.
Hey, appreciate your calling in, man. Give my regards to all your circle of fellow lawbreakers.
Yeah, keep up the good work, man.
Hey, thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye. And phone lines are open. 427-3772 is the call-in number, 427-3772. If you want to hear Jay's music, and he plays very well, wander on down to Pacific Avenue, maybe in the illegal zone in front of the Del Mar Theater or somewhere else. I haven't heard Jay playing recently, but I'm not downtown all the time. I'm kind of come down, I kind of swoop in and sweep along and swoop out, or so I'm not there that much. If you have any thoughts, anyone who's a performer, anyone who's heard performers, or perhaps people who are disturbed by performers, maybe even unreasonably disturbed, give a call, 427-3772. That's the number here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's what you're tuned to. I'm going to now play a little bit from last Wednesday. This is in the... I really will. But first, hey there, you're on Free Radio.
Oh, hey, hi, Robert. This is DJ Matter Embryo. I just wanted to make a real brief comment.
Hey, Embryo, how's it going? You're down in L.A., right?
Yes, I am.
Let me ask you, are they hassling musicians down there on the streets? What happens if you try to play on the streets? Do you know, or?
You know, I mean, not necessarily, and it's interesting. There's not a big, that it's definitely not publicized. You don't hear much about that, and it's the homeless situation down here is pretty different than in Santa Cruz, but not completely different. It's just, I don't think, it's more an issue of sometimes moving people along who are in camp cities, like down in Skid Row, and a lot of the issues have to do with really chronically folks in difficulties, whether they be drugs or different issues.
Embryo, are you talking from, like, having observed this, or is this from newspaper accounts mostly?
You know, I've been down there, but more from newspaper accounts. I used to live a lot closer to there.
Uh-huh.
It's not like I've spent a lot of time there, but I've seen those areas.
Well, what are your thoughts? What you hear about the Street Performers Guild, the Drum Circle, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, well, it's definitely, I mean, I think that organizing to combat street harassment of, or, you know, police harassment of street folks in general, whatever they may be doing, is very important. And I'm, you know, in general, I'm completely behind what you present on your shows pretty constantly. And the only thing I had to say, which might seem a little theoretical, but it's actually not, is the importance of the concept of jury nullification. Anybody who's ever on a jury who is specifically confronting a trial of any of the street performers or any of the fucked up things about civil rights that happened in Santa Cruz, it's absolutely your right to completely ignore the law.
Embryo, let me interrupt you, Embryo, because you're completely you're completely right. The problem is these are infractions. You'll never get a jury trial on any of this stuff. That's the problem.
Wow, interesting. Really?
Yeah,
so it's just a judge?
It's a trial before a judge. The only time you get a jury trial is, you know, in theory, if you get two tickets within 48 hours, it's a misdemeanor. But then what they do, this is how clever they are, they will reduce it to an infraction over your objections, denying you a public defender and denying you a jury trial.
So,
you know, it's the same with the sleeping ban. They don't allow you jury trials. In Boulder, Colorado, you may have been listening earlier, they do have jury trials. And in Los Angeles, you know, prior to the Jones decision, which set up supposedly the right to sleep, on the sidewalks when there's no other place to sleep in Los Angeles.
Yes.
There was a misdemeanor provision that required jury trials. But the second thing is, most people don't want to fuck with the jury because they have. If you're homeless, you'll sit in jail waiting for a bail unless they OR you.
Wow.
And so it's, you're right. You can tell it. You have a right. The jury can decide whatever the hell it wants. If it thinks the prosecution is unjust, if it thinks the law is unconstitutional, if it thinks the police are you know, maybe they're telling the truth, but the whole thing is unfair in some way. They can just say not guilty. But unfortunately, in this situation,
you're right. I mean, you're totally right. And the significance of that.
Either.
And then I want to let you move on because you have a really good flow going. I just wanted to say that the whole significance of that is the courtroom is essentially a tyranny when it's only a judge, but when it is a jury, I mean, and of course this is obvious, but the jury never has to present a legal legal opinion or anything approaching that. So they don't even have to confront the law in general. It's exactly what you just said. It's not guilty. And this is totally backed up by numerous legal opinions going back from 1910, 1929. This can all be looked up. This is not like, and it would be valid if it was a radical stating this, but no, this is complete legal, conservative and totally accepted legal theory.
Right you are, DJ Embryo, and thanks for calling in. Call in again if you got more thoughts on this.
Okay, thanks a lot for your show.
All right, man. Yeah, if you're interested in this issue of fully informed juries, that's one way of describing this. Jury independence is another. Jury nullification is a third. You can go to FIJA, F-I-J-A, Google for FIJA, which is the name both of an association, Fully Informed Jury Association, also the name of amendments that have been put forward in different states to specifically articulate that this is a right the jury has. It actually, unfortunately, though it's a right, it is, attorneys are denied the, it's called a power rather than a right. So attorneys were not allowed by judges to inform juries of their right to nullify. You can get, I don't know if you can get disbarred, but it's considered to be Santa Cruz lawyers will not inform juries of their right to nullify in other cases. I think it's very important what DJ Embryo said in drug cases, for instance, where we are talking about juries. You know, but unfortunately, in these other cases, or fortunately in a certain sense, because the penalties are less, but, you know, the penalty of losing your right to play and to assemble is a real penalty that it's kind of a hidden penalty. The penalty of having to do what the police tell you to do is a hidden penalty when that means
abandoning your rights. We have a call. Hi, you're on Free Radio with me. I'm Robert, and you are...
My name is Brent Adams.
Hey, Brent. Welcome. How you doing, man?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Oh, good. Haven't seen you down at the drum circle much, Mr. Adams.
Some people are calling me a traitor, but I haven't called you a traitor. I'm personally dropping that concern as an activist.
Ah, okay. Well, I should ask. I suppose I should ask you why. Why are you dropping that?
For asking me why.
If you'd like to talk about it.
I mainly called to talk about one thing specific, but we have plenty of things to talk about.
Yeah.
I love the drummers personally, and it is something that's very dear to my heart. It has been very important that it continue. But what occurred to me 9 months ago when we were hanging the signs and at the original spot, and I start as a mediator. I was meeting with one-on-one with a lot of the farmers.
Let me clarify, Brent. You are a person who has you were for a while a spokesperson for the Street Performers Guild. You have put in a lot of energy trying to work stuff out between Sergeant Harms and merchants about how the drum circle's activity could be accommodated into the farmers' market. You put in your time and your energy, and I've slapped you across the chops for not reorganizing the Street Performers Guild.
The Street Performers Guild is still an entity, and I am a spokesman for that entity.
Right, I'm not trying to slap you around for that. I mean, it hasn't met for a whole fucking year, and you're pisses me off.
It hasn't been performing to your expectations.
Well,
sure.
I mean, there have been all kinds of tickets that have gone down and harassment, and it's been requested that it meet, and your responsibility there was to get that group together or to resign and say, I'm not going to do it, let somebody else do it. You didn't do that, but you're a man who's I've seen you doing a lot of causes. I'm not going to put you down for that right now.
There were no responsibilities listed, nor were there any expectations written.
No problem.
Those were yours. I definitely have been meeting with the police on a regular basis when they contact us. I play every week downtown.
Well, I know that you've been getting a lot of hassle. You mentioned to me because you play a big 50-gallon drum downtown, and
sure.
You yourself were present when Cynthia Kennedy was harassed by Officer Azua and ultimately had hair torn out of her head around the corner. I wanted to give some background because you're a knowledgeable person, you're an articulate person. You were involved in having a dialogue with Take Back Santa Cruzans a couple of months back.
That's right.
You do a 4th of July demonstration around the rights of the First Amendment about burning the flag.
Uh-huh.
You're a man who has got your finger in a number of pies.
Wow, you got a list there. That's really great. Thank you.
Well, I remember. But anyway, what are your thoughts this evening?
So the drum circle, it was just as I was meeting with the farmers, I was becoming aware, of course, that we all know farmers. They have their life savings, some of them, many of them invested in their businesses. They work all year round. They get up at the crack of dawn. And on those days, they're working especially hard on the farmer's market day. And they are just hoping people will buy their stuff. And if they're listening, they're hearing a lot of their customers are refusing to come back down to the downtown market and going to the other farmer's markets. There are plenty of them now. They're losing business, and several of them kept saying, especially Ron, who's well loved, and he's a hippie freak who loves drumming normally, is saying, I hate that fucking drum circle because I'm losing customers to it. So I take this body of information I've received over a period of weeks, and I share it with the drummers. And what do I see over there? I see a bunch of people who really could care less about that. The most important thing, really, of course, is just to bang on stuff. I get that. I drummed there myself for 6 years, almost without cease. I haven't drummed much there in the last 2 years. Only when the jig is up, when the cops are showing up, then it's kind of like an action. But I start feeling the imbalance that people, they can step up. They can even be from out of town. And just bang metal on concrete for 3 hours straight and not even do it in time. And even though I celebrate and I think it needs to be defended as a free gathering of people, it's a tradition and it's freedom of speech and all of this, I trying to be a mediator and hearing the concerns, I just decided it's not a concern as much as I think it's really important to support these farmers. I want to see, I'm happy that it's actually grown bigger. I hate that these issues are in conflict. For me, they should be going together. Like here in some cities, they actually, like in Berkeley, the farmers market celebrates the drum circle. So now that they're moving from one place to the next, and the new businesses have to counter the sound, are coming out and, you know, the cops aren't getting involved. I really don't think it's part of the city or the police, especially Sergeant Harms, is I don't believe it's their intention to make this part of the cleaning, social cleansing thing that we see downtown. I really think that the sergeant has been trying to, you know, every time he sees me, he's like, how do we find some alternate space? How do we do this? I know they're great guys. I don't have a problem with it. He's always saying that. I think he said it to you, trying to find some alternative. So, but now I think our friend Colin, formerly known as Monkey, is stepping in. He wants to help mediate, and it's not a concern I feel as passionate about anymore. So there's that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your thoughts, Brent. I've had many conversations with Sergeant Harms, somewhat from a more oppositional perspective, because I see him engaging in rather systematic attacks on not just drummers and the right to drum, the right to be in that group, but he's a big fan of the drug war. He's a big fan of, you know, he masterminded the in attempts to put away Lido and Anna Richardson.
Yeah, totally fucked up.
And, you know, I mean, and he engages in false reports, or I should say reports, if they're not false, they are, he claims that, you know, they should have been, he forwards stuff directly to the city attorney, which the city attorney should have known better about. The two are given an injunction against sleeping in the downtown area at night. Instead, he forwards reports sleeping during the day with their possessions and calls it camping.
Totally. I'm not defending Sergeant Harms.
What I'm saying is I think he is involved in cleansing the downtown area. I think he is involved in this, and I think...
Oh, he is, but yeah, I don't think that's what the farmer's market concern is about for
him. Well, if the farmer's market... Yeah, but if there's no sensitivity to the fact that they're going to move people out of there. I mean, I think that, you know, if they had approached you as a mediator and said, you know, we want to expand the market, let's have a chat with the drummers, you're a mediator, I would have been far more sympathetic to guys like... I think I actually talked to Ron, although I'm not quite sure what he looks like. I've talked to an older guy who was both a market person.
He's from the Netherlands or he's Dutch.
Guy had an accent. So maybe it was Ron I talked to. He was trying to, you know, justify what the farmers market did. And I said, you know, first of all, I've never seen any statistics that really show that the drum circle is removing a lot of people from the farmers market. So I'm not persuaded of that necessarily, though I understand their mixed opinions.
Yeah.
Secondly, as I said, there was the process by which this was done, which it was so unilateral and arbitrary. And also, frankly, I don't think Lulu Carpenters needs to be sitting on the drum circle right there. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of Monthree Srinath, the owner of Lulu Carpenters, though he's done some things for a few homeless people that I want to acknowledge. But, you know, it looks pretty commercial to me what they're doing there with little T-shirt shops and so forth. And also, as I said before, there are vacant spaces that they're leaving behind.
Right.
Specifically, it seems in order to occupy a larger space area. Now, I don't say that they intentionally are removing the drum circle, but they showed no respect.
Yeah,
I stopped.
It's been months since I spoke with the manager of the farmers market as in the capacity as a mediator, because I just saw it was running just fine. The signs were being hung every week. There had been no cop harassment.
It should be said the sign you hang up, it talked about kind of suggested rules of proposals for conduct and encouraging people not to drink there and not to do drugs there.
Right. Most importantly, to be nice to the market.
You know, respect the market and, you know, and also kind of clear out of the way if cars need to come through and that kind of stuff.
And then an email address and a phone number to call me. Mainly just so they would have somebody to a go-to guy.
Did you get a lot of complaints? Did you get a lot of complaints? Or?
Zero.
Well, that's interesting because
and they all had this in their hands.
That's great.
I distributed this copy of the sign to every single market vendor.
Right, and that was a sign we used to see hanging on the old drum tree, as I like call it. You know, So. What's your sense about what's going on now? You were saying you feel that the drum circle. Are you suggesting that I have problems with this whole unreasonable noise stuff? Because I think you may too. Are you coming to the Street Performers Guild meeting?
Okay, it is. That's why I wanted to call you initially. It is not a Street Performers Guild meeting. It's called by Tom Noddy, who he's the founding, one of the founding fathers of the guild back in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s.
Uh-huh.
Wrote up the guideline, the voluntary guidelines. But this is a meeting, and we will discuss the guild during the meeting, but this is actually an all call for people to talk about street performer issues, not a guild meeting.
Okay.
So it's very important that you.
Well, I don't think you have to, I mean, I think he's saying anybody who's a performer or who is a supporter. That was the email I got.
Correct. Guild meetings are mainly for performers.
Right. So this is for everybody who's concerned about the issue, but it's also, you know, includes guild members. So I mean, also it is about, I think, revitalizing the Street Performers Guild, because that's how, as I understand it. So,
correct.
And this is happening, I guess, on Saturday the 22nd at 5 p.m. at Loudoun Nelson Center, right?
I don't have that information.
That's what I noticed. But yeah,
is it the 22nd? Isn't that a
Saturday? I think.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I've been putting out little flyers about the fact that, you know, what's happening. It's quoting from Tom's email to say issues he thinks are important to be discussed and so forth.
Yeah, that's right. I actually have to get a flyer together, and I should really know that better and try to trumpet that, broadcast that. But mostly for me, I want to make sure I get all the street musicians, so I'll be making a cool flyer to get into all the hot little hands of the street performers.
You had mentioned that you yourself were suffering some harassment from police around your drumming.
Weekly.
And when's the last time that happened, and what's been going down with that?
A week ago. Every week. And if it's Azua, it's especially bad, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. And I'm going to be starting to file formal complaints about that guy.
What happened last week with this situation?
What happens is we'll play in one of two places, because we are kind of cacophonous. We are loud. Plastic Barrel played with hammers. You know, they're muted. Also, kitchen cooking pots with metal fitted hand gloves, and it's a specific, it's a unique thing. We're called Love Gutter. You can find us online, Love Gutter Music, MySpace, and then Love Gutter also has YouTube videos.
Uh-huh.
But so we'll play for our allotted hour, but usually before that, cops will approach us and say, okay, you've got to stop. We've received a complaint, and they're usually very accommodating, very cool. And they go, you know how this works. If you get a, and that means they're willing to sign a ticket. That means I'm not able to lay another mallet on the drum. And if I do, I'll get cited. Which means, of course, it's an unreasonable noise complaint. It's a citizen's arrest ticket. The cops usually say they don't want to be there dealing with me because, I just give them an earful. Because I don't think that the noise ordinance should be used to quell street performers. It's something to, for the neighborhoods, if you're living next to a gargantuan party house, that you should be able to call and have that stopped if it's after 10 o'clock or before 10 o'clock. It's different than the curfew.
Yeah, there's a much sharper and lower threshold after 10 o'clock when you can't make noise within, 300 feet of a residence, I think it is, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It doesn't say you have to, if you put down one more drum, if you were saying one more hammer hits the drum, that should be the basis for a citation. It's only the basis for a citation, even from a citizen, if it's not an issue of whether they're complaining. It's an issue of whether your actual behavior is unreasonably disturbing noise.
Right.
And, of course, we know that can be problematic because Becky Johnson singing the song Downtown got Judge Almquist to say, because it woke up a sleeper in the middle of the day, it was unreasonably disturbing, which is
ridiculous. That's where I think that an actual busker has a leg up on the Becky Johnson situation, because being a busker, you have a hat or a cup with money in it. And you may have audience members who are there.
Oh, for sure.
And that the law, particular states. I'm not going to get the wording right, but if it's offensive physically and irritating to somebody of normal hearing, and so if you have like five people listening and $30 in your cup, and then you get a complaint from somebody three floors up behind double pane glass, there's no way that can be damaging to somebody of normal hearing, because normal, sensitivity, because those people of normal sensitivity have already voted. They put money in your hat. Everyone agrees that it's cool.
Yeah, that's a very good point, what we're going to do, I think, activists who are doing singing on the street, we'll simply have a couple people who are listening as an audience or a tape recording that we can then say, well, we don't think this is unreasonably disturbing. In fact, we think it is unreasonably unconstitutional that you are moving into silences. And also, it's not that the police officers may feel they are obliged to take citizen complaints, though they're not. They don't have to. That's right. It's discretionary. But
really? They don't have to answer
no,
that call?
No, they don't. It used to be that it was a felony not to do so. That changed, the law changed in 2003. It's no longer the case. But more important than that, they aren't really taking a complaint about the law. They are what seem to be imposing a unilateral decision of the police department, which is move along or we're going to give you a ticket based on the citizen complaint.
Right.
In other words, it's not be more quiet and follow the law.
Right. Be less disturbing.
It's not, stop doing unreasonably disturbing noise, but play more quietly.
Right.
That phrase, I noticed, Dave didn't talk about that on the air when he called in and gave his account of the drum circle Indian parade through town that was driven from here to there. But when I talked to him on the phone earlier, he told me at no time did any police officer say play more quietly. They just said stop playing and move on.
Well, we know that the cops actually haven't read this law. They're out there dodging, you know, gang members, and they're looking for real crime. This is a pain in the ass for them individually, in my opinion. They're not going to read these laws. And the way the law is written, they don't even have to know the law. They don't have to actually. There's no discussion about the content of a law in the law. If you remember that, they don't have to present proof of what the law states.
Well, they do have to have reasonable. Reasonable cause to issue a citizen citation, and if the people are obviously not engaging in unreasonably disturbing noise, then the police are liable for issuing the citation. Because the problem with issuing a citation, and you know that's why you move on or you stop playing, is not that, you know, they say, well, you just take it to court and you resolve it in court. Nah, nah, nah. It's a $445 cost to resolve it before court. You have to go and pay that bribe, in essence, to the court to stop the ticket, or you have to go through a process that goes before. It may take several days of work time away from you, and then when you get there, you may get a cockeyed judge confronted with a vindictive city attorney.
Most
like
likely
had.
You'll get
well, possibly, although Tamarack showed up there a couple weeks ago with an unreasonably disturbing noise citation and nobody showed up in court.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's kind of a crapshoot, but it chills you.
I've got to do this because this one person that's been calling on us, there are actually two in this location. One's up in the domiciles atop the Borders building.
Melody Zizak, probably. She's the manager of that building or involved.
Oh, no. We have somebody who lives up there.
Well, maybe she lives
named,
up there.
Judy Anderson, Julie Jackson, something like that.
Yeah.
And then somebody now, I've got somebody calling from Full Support. The company
support.
Just above Borders, and they call for the fun of it. We've heard. I know somebody who works there, and telling me that they're like, yeah, they're playing again. Let's call the cops. And they're conducting. Hold on. So what we're gonna do? And I don't want to like the cat out of the bag too early here, but there is going to be. I mean, I've got to chase this thing down myself. I've got to go get a ticket and go to court. And you know, deal with this head on. But we want to do it, in a precedent setting way. Like I think it's slightly complicated with your tickets. I mean, they are facing the issues head on, but
It isn't really. It's been said, and I think properly. So I talked to attorney Jonathan Gettleman today, who successfully defended Anna and Miguel from the latest attempt to screw them over for sleeping
That's
in the
right.
day downtown. Although they're still facing that kind of injunction every night, which is even weirder. But he said that it doesn't matter how many tickets you beat back. You have to get an injunction against this shit. You have to get a civil injunction in federal court to stop the police.
I think that's one of the ways.
Yeah, that is
the other way is
sure.
to get you want to take your court. You win in court and you take that straight to the city council, and you try to get your two or possibly three sympathetic council members. Now that you have this, this judge saying, okay, this is a bogus use of this law.
Right.
And you take that to these city council members in private. Quarters and you try to get your fourth, to get them to rewrite the thing. That way you don't have to get a million hours of legal time paid for.
Right. Well,
injunctions are very expensive.
It is true that attorneys are expensive. Although sometimes you get attorneys who might volunteer. But the problem with the city council is that they are riding the winds of, they broke the windows, that sort of thing. The
right.
hysteria and also, we don't want the homeless, the punks are downtown, the
right.
the kind of frenzied right-wing riptide that is flowing through Santa Cruz for the last 10, 12, 15 years since the rebuilding of downtown. And it's happening in other communities, too. There is a gentrification kind of Gestapo stuff that's going on. And it's all covered up very nicely with smiles and Sergeant Harms talking very nicely to people and double-talking very nicely to people, I got to say. I don't mean to be mean to him, but I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is that problem, and I'm curious to see what strategy you use in court. I'm hopeful that you'll be able to chatter with Byers, Madrigal, and, Lane, and maybe try to coax in a fourth. I don't hold up much hope for that, but if you can do it, I say right on.
One of these constitutional law professors needs to get on board with this.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to mass power first, and the power is not going to be the city council. They're a bunch of gutless wonders, and they're going to be even more gutless as Take Back Santa Cruz screams louder and louder.
We intend to have Take Back Santa Cruz on our side, and I'll tell you why. And I don't think you're going to want to hear this. You know that I support you in all that you do. But I'm a little bit here. I want to separate out, and you're trying to bring them together. And I think we both have our reasons, and they're both valid. That I've got to try to separate. We'd like to separate the street musician issues from the homeless issues, only for on this point, so we can gain some support in the community, because we know that the community at large is saying we love street musicians. They're not saying we love panhandlers. We love homeless people, even though, I mean, I love homeless people and panhandlers, too. We need to protect the rights of these people.
This is a long debate that we had the debate in 2002, and we also had the debate in 1994 when Tom Noddy and others wanted to distinguish between the good street performers and the bad.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
And, you know, I didn't like it when he did that. I still don't like it. I'm not saying he does it now. And I understand he's looking after something that I think needed to be protected, street performers' voluntary guidelines, which were thrown out. He was unsuccessful in doing that. Oh, you might say he was successful in extending the guidelines kind of for 8 years, from 1994 to 2002. And I say more power to him for doing that.
Heck yeah.
But the problem is I think that at the time, in 1994, we had a strong movement against these entire ordinances. And for people to kind of say, well, I'm going to go mediate this thing, or I'll do a separate deal with the city council on this issue, that kind of shit, I think, weakened us. And I'm afraid that, and that's why I strongly disagree with Tom at the time when he took that position, if I'm accurately quoting him, and I may well be. I mean, we can, Tom and I can talk about this, and we talk about it on the air, probably we'll talk about it again. The issue, what to do now in 2010, the idea that you can somehow get take back Santa Cruz on your side is, I think, it's like trying to get right-wing Republicans on your side. You better watch.
It's one of the things that makes, I'm sorry to interrupt, that makes Santa Cruz what it is downtown. It's known far and wide as a busking town, a street musician town. It's a quaint, artsy, beautiful idea that people can come out and share their music and creativity. Now, you know, being homeless is not a creative act. I've been homeless many times. It actually is a creative act, but it's not in the same way, the artistic sharing sort of way. And also the way most people are doing their panhandling, it's not a creative sharing. And I don't expect that it needs to be. That's just the difference I'm making here.
Well, we'll have panhandling meters to deal with that whole problem.
That disgusts me.
I mean, I understand your distinction. The problem is that there are some. First of all, the same laws are used to go after hit both groups because they cannot, you know, constitutionally make those kinds of distinctions. So everybody gets screwed, including street performers, political activists,
right. Ordinary,
you know, people coming out of the stores to sit down. They used to be sitting on the brick planters back in the 80s, and they would selectively ticket the homeless and go out and then ignore, you know, the employers. And they're still doing something similar. You know, that's why we have this whole dog law controversy. Anyway, Brent, let me give you the closing word on this, give you a chance to sum up your thoughts, and because maybe other people who want to call in.
Yeah.
Let's let that go on. Go ahead.
Well, I'm really pissed off at the way they've handled the seating area that you mentioned earlier, the thousands and thousands of dollars they've added. You've mentioned hundreds of times, moving the metal fence around the seating areas downtown, removing all of the benches, so I don't have a place to sit for 15 minutes and read a book anymore. You know, these things really frustrate me. Homeless issues downtown, I will always be in support of homeless issues. But I also, you know, after talking to the Santa Cruz Back people in general, I found them to be very concerned
and interesting people. They were thoughtful. They heard me out. I went there to give them some shit, and they treated me better than I ever treated a protester protesting the anti-war movement. We gave those people a hard time. So I think we could work with Take Back Santa Cruz. I think we all want the same thing. With they have a limited venue. And their spokesman is short-sighted.
Well, thanks, Brandon. For those who want to get in touch with you, do you want to give an email address? Because I know that you
can get Brent.
Oh, you're on Facebook.
At Facebook, sure, Brent Adams. My email is compassionman@hotmail.com.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Be well. Talk soon.
All right. Yeah, I mean. I heard Brent vigorously debating with the Take Back Santa Cruz folks when they were doing a demonstration down at, I think it was Barston and Ocean Streets. And I was very impressed with his, he had a sign. All the other Take Back Santa Cruzans had these, we support the police type signs. And I'm not sure what the exact signs were they had. And he had another sign about opposing discrimination and so forth, which there's a lot of anti-immigrant sentiment in Take Back Santa Cruz. There's a lot of drug war bullshit in Take Back Santa Cruz. I don't mind working with people as individuals, and I know I've got people who are very anti-choice and who are very fundamentalist in their religious beliefs, who are very pro-homeless civil rights, who I work with and respect. But I don't know if Take Back Santa Cruz is that kind of an organization. It's not been my impression that that's the case. And if anybody from Take Back Santa Cruz wants to call in and chat about this, that's fine. I've never heard a rational argument around the sleeping ban from a Take Back Santa Cruz person in any official capacity. And maybe I just missed it, you know. But maybe Brent can do that kind of, you have them come out against the sleeping ban, I'd say right on Take Back Santa Cruz, although I'd have to take issue with a number of their other positions. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Call in number 427-3772, 427-3772. Call in and I will put you on the air no matter what. However, since for the moment no one is calling in, let's hear me talking with Officer Forbus and Sergeant Harms. And I believe Officer Winston was there. He didn't want to talk to me because he said I represented an illegal radio station. So that was his right. I thought he represented an illegal department engaged in unconstitutional attacks on the rights of poor people. But I talked to him anyway. You know, that's me. I got a big mouth. So let's hear some from this. This is the aftermath of the last drum circle way back a week and a half, 8 days ago at Elm Street, where the drum circle was pressured to move. And then, of course, yesterday was pressured to move away from there and ran around all around town and finally got dispersed and ticketed, or at least one of the individuals, Patrick, got ticketed. And we haven't heard from him. Maybe we'll hear from him in the show or from somebody who witnessed that. It's possible. So here we go with a little from... I guess it was, today is the, 13th. It was the 5th, I guess.
Have you been interrogating people around town about whether they've been involved in window-breaking activities?
I haven't spoken to one person about window-breaking activities.
All right. I appreciate your candor on that.
Yeah. I wasn't here. I've been dealing with all the other mess involved with it. I haven't spoken to any suspects or anyone who's claimed to be a suspect or anyone. All right.
I will pass that on uncensored so you can clarify that. But, you know, I want us to compare different accounts.
You're a reporter. You got to look at your sources.
For sure. Yeah. I do. I'm looking at one of them right now.
Yeah, and I pretty much answer all your questions as best I can.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank
Even
you.
When I feel I shouldn't, I still answer your
questions. You're a bold man.
Well, you said
it's those sunglasses.
Yeah, I'll take them off for you. How about that?
Well, they're pretty nice looking sunglasses.
Uh-huh. They keep the wind out my eyes.
Yeah, well, it's nicer tonight. How's it going, Dave?
Hey, you too, dog.
Why don't you go to Ocean Park? You got a great view.
Well, let's ask Dave. Dave, why don't you go to the park? Quote, Officer Forbus says it has a great view.
That's pretty spiritual.
What's the reason that people don't want to go to the park?
You know, I'm trying to understand.
Well, we're trying to have retirement
tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're trying to make it live some other time.
That sounds good.
We're all conversing about it. So we're trying to move it on.
I'll keep the reports coming in and I'll pass
yeah.
them on.
Yeah, because, yep, yep, we're trying to move it on.
So I may have, I don't think it was your brother.
You know, and of course, the disingenuous or perhaps naive, let's be very generous with Officer Forbes or Officer Dan Forbes, is the notion that, oh, if the drum circle just moved to the park, everything would be okay. Of course, maybe he means San Lorenzo Park, and I don't think that's been tried because it's kind of been an isolated area where the community does not get involved. There's no witnesses if police harass or otherwise abuse people there, and it's kind of away from the downtown. San Lorenzo Park is downtown still, but it's not in the general downtown area where the drum circle has been for the last 20 years on Wednesdays. So when they did move to the town clock, as was suggested by Sergeant Harms, first as they moved to Scribner Park across from the town clock, they were harassed there and told to move away. And when they moved to the town clock, they were harassed there and told to move away. And when they went down Pacific Avenue, they were harassed there and told to wait. And apparently, again, illegally, because they weren't told you're violating the law or we're getting a complaint about a law that doesn't pertain here. We just want you to play. You have to play more quietly or we will be violating the law. They were just told to shut up and move on and or move on or both. So the claim that we're just trying to be helpful to you, we police officers, you know, why don't you do this? We're really trying to understand. But in reality, what's going on is they're really trying to shut you down. And that, unfortunately, is the reality of it. I don't mean to be mean to the police, but we have to be, I think, more concerned about the rights of the people who are getting screwed here. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert, caller.
Hey, Robert.
Ah, scope it out, Scott. How you doing, man?
All right. How are you doing?
Good. I suppose you have some gentle praise for the beat of the drum circle?
Not really.
No, I mean,
you already
so.
Know what my position is, that these people do not know how to play. They are disturbing the peace. They have been for 15 years, and, you know, it's about time they go get some lessons, play somewhere else where they're not disturbing people, and once they learn to play rhythmically, and, you know, then they could play in public. But, you know, it's like, if there's a bunch of violin players practicing their violin and going, you know, eventually people would get upset with that too, you know, especially if they did it for 15 years on end and didn't learn how to do it.
So 15 years of physical torment is finally coming to an end, eh?
Yes, I hope so. But to go on to another topic,
yes,
which is, you know, also about police repression here in Santa Cruz. I was at a show the other night down at the bowling alley across from the boardwalk, which is also owned by the boardwalk. Now, the band that was playing there was this punk band from the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, called MDC, which actually means various different things, but
millions
one of the things
of
MDC
cops.
Stands for is Millions of Dead Cops.
Shocking.
Okay, so at one point during the evening, while MDC was playing, actually, a couple of the security guards from the boardwalk came walking through the bowling alley. They saw the poster for the show, were incensed by the name of the band, came into the bar area where the show was going on, and the band was on right then at that moment, playing this song called No More Cops. That even further enraged these wannabe cops, so they called the Santa Cruz Police Department to come in and shut the show down. So, you know, as when the Santa Cruz PD showed up, they shut the show down right while the band was singing the song John Wayne Was a Nazi.
Well, let me ask you though, Scott. On what basis did they claim the show was illegal?
Oh, they were saying it was private property and that they could do whatever they wanted.
The police could do whatever they wanted?
No, the security guards. They needed the police there to back up their play.
Well, now, wasn't the band, you know, being paid to perform?
Well, under California law, basically what's going on here is the promoter of the show is sort of, you know, leasing the space to put the show on. So he's in control of the space. The boardwalk cedes control of the space during the time which this show that was being put on by an outside promoter is going on. But the fascists at the boardwalk don't see it that way. And, you know, Charlie's the king of the town.
Charlie Canfield?
Yes. King Charlie. You know, this town is run by a bunch of carnies. And so anyway, what happened was they turned off the power to the band. So the band was like up there. So they actually finished the song John Wayne Was a Nazi a cappella.
I hope somebody got a recording of that.
I don't think so. But anyway, you know, there's three or four Santa Cruz cops at the door. When I went outside, there was 20 friggin' cop cars out there. There was all of the, you know, whoever was on duty at midnight, all the Santa Cruz cops were there. There were Scotts Valley cops. There's Capitola cops. There's University cops. It was just a fucking unbelievable that they brought this many cops in just because they didn't like the name of the band.
Nobody had a video camera and took pictures of this fine event?
No, not that I know of. I took pictures, but I have no pictures of the cops.
Now, when was this again? What day?
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night?
Yes.
And so that was this night before last?
Yes.
And about what time did this congregation of police cars arrive?
Probably a little after midnight. It was probably about a quarter after to half past midnight.
And how many people were in the crowd observing this unusual display of force?
Oh, there's probably over 100 people in the bar.
And what was their reaction?
They were pissed off. There were some people, you know, because it was a bunch of punks. And there were some people in there yelling, riot, riot, riot. And,
well, I hope they didn't break any windows.
No,
I
mean, but the thing is that when they went outside, all of a sudden they saw, like, all these friggin' cops out there, you know. And the guys in the band, see, this happened to them again before 4 years ago here at Santa Cruz.
It happened before 4 years ago?
Yeah, they were playing at the teen center. It was actually a fundraiser for the teen center. The police came in during their first song and told them that if they played one more note, they'd get arrested.
What did they do?
They stopped playing.
Kind of a gutless MDC group, I must say.
Well, they have commitments. They had, like, the other night, they had a show the next night in San Francisco, and I'm sure that 4 years ago, I mean, they're on tour. They're from Portland, Oregon, and so they're on tour. You know, they're not, like, they're not a local band. They don't want to end up in friggin' jail here.
Yeah, well, our jail has its charms, I can tell you, from some experience. But there was, luckily, nobody heeded the cry of these wild rioters who don't seem to understand that the police, in their wise decision to close down the band, probably were doing the right thing.
I don't believe so, Rob.
So nobody wanted to break any windows. Everybody felt happy and charming. And
I went up to one of the security guards, the one that seemed to be the most incensed about the name of the band. I said, you know, you didn't have to shut this show down. He goes, we can't have a band like that, that name playing songs like they play here. And I said, what do you mean here? I said, isn't this the United States? Isn't there a First Amendment right to freedom of speech and freedom of expression? And he goes, well, this is private property. I go, it's still in the United States. We're not in Russia or China, dude. He goes, the show's over. Everybody has to leave.
Of course, you said, I will take my time leaving. Don't try to fuck with me, Mr. Security Man.
Well, I just walked away from him and went over and, you know, talk to the guys in the band and to the guy that's the promoter. And
I'd be surprised if there weren't some video taken by people with cell phones, you know.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe go on YouTube and find it, and, you know, we can present it at the next city council meeting as a nice demonstration of free speech in action in Santa Cruz and how the SCPD supports that kind of thing. I mean, I know the SCPD has been moving on ACLU canvassers at Trader Joe's. It's happened at least 3 times now.
Oh, yeah, I saw them the other day there. I mean, I witnessed it twice myself at Trader Joe's.
And tell me what
you
witnessed.
I even went in, and I asked the people at Trader Joe's about it. I said, why is it you let these guys from Salinas out here in the white suits collect money when they're not even part of a real nonprofit, and then you call the cops on the ACLU guys. They go, "Oh, that's not us. That's the owner of the building and the complex here. That they don't want those guys here." And so there's something that, you know, for some reason, that person hates the ACLU.
Yeah, and of course, what's more important, I mean, he has his problems, and he's got a right to hate whoever he wants. I have my own pet peeves, you know. But the Santa Cruz Police Department shouldn't be backing him up and issuing trespass tickets as they did a month and a half ago to an ACLU
canvasser. Well, the one guy that was there actually had the ticket with him, and it had been dismissed.
Right. He showed up in court and nobody was there.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it isn't a harassment effort. It doesn't mean you don't lose a day of work. It doesn't mean
I don't understand is why, because if they're part from the national or they're from some other
From another group. They're a canvassing group that's hired.
I understand, but if they are from another group, why aren't they going and getting Rockin, who's like somehow on the board or whatever of the local group? Why aren't they getting him to stand there with them?
Well, I think Rodkin would probably tell you that he would disqualify himself from that because of a conflict of interest.
A conflict of what? I mean, he's on their board. He ought to stand there, and then when the Santa Cruz police show up, he ought to tell them that, hey, this is you're engaging in illegal activity.
Mike has an unusual view of these issues. So, for instance, when I walk with a sign into the ACLU general meeting 3 years ago that says end the sleeping ban, he attempts to have me arrested, and the police, ironically enough, say, no, it's his right to be here. So we have a strange town.
Yes.
So, you know, I think you're right. Rodkin, he's on the board of the ACLU. He's the mayor of the town. He's on the board of the Metro Center. It's like, unfortunately, it's kind of incestuously intertwined, all this stuff. And the local ACLU, of course, isn't worth a bucket of warm spit, as Harry Truman said of the vice presidency, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I have in the studio a disruptive influence just arrived, a supporter of the board of permit, the board of supervisors. Uncle Dennis is denying it here. Anything? I'll go into that in a moment. But Scott, is there anything more you wish to smear our fine police department with before I leave you?
Well, it's just when I was at the Trader Joe's parking lot, like you said, I went in to complain to the management of Trader Joe's. They said, we have nothing to do with this. It's under orders from the property management company or the whoever owns the property.
Describe what you saw. What did you actually see on these two occasions?
Well, when I came up there, they were talking to these two people from the ACLU that were out there, trying to sign people up. And when I came back out from shopping, I just got a couple items. When I came back out, those guys were getting ready to leave. I asked the guy what happened, and he said, they're telling us if we don't leave, they're going to give us another trespassing ticket. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. He goes, yeah, I know it's ridiculous, but, I don't really want to get another ticket. And so he let, they were leaving.
Well.
Even though the other ticket had been, found to be unjust.
They didn't bother to show up to prosecute.
Well, whatever. Nobody. Yeah, I guess what's his name? Barisoni, in his great wisdom, decided, well, this is we're going to lose on this if we try to enforce this.
Or maybe Barisoni didn't even hear about it. He probably heard about it.
Oh, I'm sure he did, yeah. I mean, he's the one that would prosecute them under that, right? Or decide not to prosecute.
Well, it's trespass, which would be a state penal code. Although he could have been. It depends what they were charged with. It was a state. I think it was a state penal code.
But the thing is is this rule. It was a court case.
It's called the Pruneyard decision. And there's a decision. The Pruneyard decision was specifically, it exempted to some extent. Shopping malls that are open to the public, requiring there at least be a place in the shopping mall that people would be allowed to petition, leaflet, and engage in First Amendment speech.
No, but what I'm talking about is a different thing, I believe.
Say again?
What I'm talking about is a different thing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
See, what happened was when Safeway was on strike 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
The employees that were on strike were out in the parking lot leafleting.
Right.
The Safeway had them arrested. The union, you know, went to court and fought the arrest.
Right.
And so eventually the state Supreme Court said that political activity is allowed as long as they don't hinder people from entering and leaving the stores, that they're allowed to politic.
Well, you and I can do some leafleting outside the Trader Joe's, and when they come to get us, we'll stand together, Scott.
Okay. Yeah.
Uncle Dennis, do you have a thought on this? We have Uncle Dennis in the studio. He's got some thoughts. He's our guest co-host here today.
He's our guest co-host.
The Pruneyard decision does grant people who are doing political actions, leafleting, things like that, access to publicly accessible shopping centers and malls. But they may be restricted as to where.
Time, place, and manner.
Time, place, and manner. You know, your three things. So they may have to stand in a free speech box.
Possibly in a little restroom in the back.
No, there has to be at a place where it's accessible to the public. So it may not be in the middle of the shopping center.
And not
but
very
it,
optimum, necessarily.
Not necessarily, no. But, you know, the shopping center has to provide.
We heard that complaint from people at the Capitola Mall who were told, petitioners said that they ignored those rules, but there's a little spot kind of far away from everybody, in theory, open to the public. But
that's next to the bus station. There's that little alcove in there.
And, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because I know that this
there's
is,
no store entrances there. You
well,
can't even get into
who
the mall
needs
there.
Stores? This is the First Amendment. Where
but
anyway, Scott, do you have anything further you want to say about this other than, you know, when do we meet to challenge this absurd behavior by the Santa Cruz Police Department?
Well, the thing with the Trader Joe's incident is that they are selectively enforcing this, that there are other people out there, you know, either gathering signatures and never get bothered.
Good point.
Or there's these guys from Salinas that claim to be from some drug rehab in Salinas collecting money in white suits. And what I've tried to get information from them as to who they are, what they are they a nonprofit? Finally, one of them gave me some information, and I went online, and the group that they are is not a nonprofit. It's a for-profit drug rehab. And they're here in Santa Cruz collecting money. And so I don't even know if these guys are just have some white suits and decide that, you know, this is a good way to panhandle.
Well, they're very creative.
Yeah,
panhandling
I guess so.
In Santa Cruz requires you you look like part of the solution rather than the problem.
Right.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left in the show.
Okay, well, I'll let somebody else call in and bitch at you.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Appreciate you calling
in. Talk to you later. Bye.
Anyway. Uncle Dennis, you came because you had something particular you wanted to talk about, perhaps having to do with the Board of Permit Appeals decision by the local courts in the Cove Britton case?
That's correct. I have a news release here from the Senile written by Curtis Alexander. That's the one. And
Judge O'Kay's appeal process is the headline.
That's correct. Basically, the most pertinent part of the entire story is that Superior Court Judge Timothy Volkman ruled that the County Board of Supervisors can hear and settle appeals of the Planning Department, and a policy that Santa Cruz architect and supervisorial candidate Cove Britton has sought to overturn. We discussed this rather incompletely last week, and I would like to say that on this matter, in terms of complete openness on the matter, I am on the executive committee of the Santa Cruz group of the Ventana chapter of the Sierra Club. And we have, as the executive committee of the Sierra Club, many times opposed the Santa Cruz County Planning Department for being too lenient in granting one riparian corridor exceptions, and on other occasions okaying what are known as mega homes on lots that are unsuitable for such development. Mm-hmm. And in general, not responding to citizens' complaints about building code violations, some of which have been turned into the building department, and the building department has refused to act on what are obvious building code violations by people who are either doing unpermitted building in the mountains or other actions that, you know, are in violation of the building code.
Since we have only 2 minutes left, Dennis, and this is a subject
well,
I would
I'm not going to hold you to the 8 o'clock hour here if we drop a little bit over.
Yeah, the problem I have with this discussion is we need the other party in the studio in order to engage in a productive interchange. And
I understand.
And he's not even aware you're about to discuss it. Actually, I invited him, but I haven't. And I think he's willing to do it. We just have to arrange the proper time. We're talking about Dan Bronson. Maybe this is Dan Bronson. Could it be Dan calling in? For those who don't know what the hell we're talking about, we'll tell you in a moment. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Uncle Dennis and Robert.
Hey, Dennis. Hey, Rob, man. It's Dave again, man. Hey, about Scott, man, being against the drum circle. Well, that's all well and good. You know, there are some Indians that don't realize that if they don't stand up soon, they're going to be the only Indians standing, and ain't nobody going to stand up for them.
I hear you, man.
So, I mean, hey, Scott, man, get a clue, man. The time now is stand up for anybody who wants their civil rights back. And in Santa Cruz, we don't have any as street performers or drummers. So think about it before you start stepping on people that have already had their civil rights stepped on and are, at this moment, being ridiculed and pushed out of their own constitutional rights.
Thank you, Dave.
Drummer Dave, this is
hey,
this
peace
is,
you
this
guys,
is
man. And remember,
hey, Drummer Dave,
you can prevent
you're not
the
listening,
SDP
are you?
From.
Dave, are you still there?
Yes.
Dennis has something to say to you.
Yeah, just an aside on this issue, which is not the one I came in to discuss tonight.
That's cool.
My wife and I have discussed this over the years, and what we feel should be done is that some downtown musicians should get together, form a jury, and audition street performers who would then be given some kind of a badge or a license or something.
Badges?
Stinking
we
badges.
Don't need no stinking badges.
Okay.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
If you wanted to be a street performer, you would go to this guild, you would audition in front of them, and if they felt that your talent was sufficient to entertain the public, then you could be a street performer in Santa Cruz. And everyone else needs to practice.
Oh, now, hey, man, I'm sorry, man. You're going to have to invent a new constitution if you're going to do that, because that just can't be done.
No, everyone else is making noise, and everyone else is causing a public nuisance, especially the drum circle. For 15 years, they've been causing a public nuisance
because they can't play.
They are not musicians. They are not entertaining the public. They are...
Well, neither did Frank Zappa. But, well, hey, some people liked his music, and they did pay for it.
Well, then someone on the musician's jury would say, okay, he's okay by me.
Well, I'm more of a libertarian on this issue, and I tend to favor the naughty, for a better, not naughty, but Noddy, Tom Noddy's Street Performers Voluntary Guidelines, which say, in essence, that you can't really make those kinds of distinctions and be constitutional. So what you need to do, I think, is establish limits by a consensual agreement, which I think, perhaps you don't think so, Dennis, worked for 22 years, and that, you know, not for the drum circle, apparently, because the drum circle went on, but I don't think the drum circle was illegal, because otherwise they would have been prosecuted for disturbing the peace or unreasonably disturbing noise successfully, and they weren't. So it's not illegal. But, I mean, your suggestion might be something that Lynn Robinson would jump at. She's our council member, perhaps one of your fans, Uncle Dennis, who knows? Hopefully.
I didn't vote for her.
Well, I mean, the Indians have been around longer than you, Dennis, so come on, man. So have drums, so get off it, man. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. There's a constitution that we avoided, and that was the Indian one.
I know that you were listening to my show last week.
You haven't recognized the American Indian Constitution to this point. And we got a slick in the Gulf of Mexico. What do you think the Indians are pissed off about?
Last week on my show, I played nearly an hour of professional drumming.
Well,
as
hey.
An example to the Santa Cruz Drum Circle
well,
of what
you,
they
man?
Should strive
you know,
to
hey,
attain.
I hope your skins were tight, you know, but look, man, I mean, there are people that have souls, man, and you're one of them, so you better stand up for all these Indians or you'll be the last one standing.
And that's actually the reason I stand up for the drum circle is because much as I have no appreciation of good drumming or bad drumming, for that matter,
right.
I appreciate the right of people to assemble publicly and to engage in yes. First Amendment protected
yes,
activity.
But the law says that you cannot create incessant noise. Cannot be a public
unreasonably
nuisance.
Disturbing noise.
Well, the drum circle has unreasonably disturbed a number of people.
Well, that's the question. Is it unreasonably disturbing noise? Or
well,
is it,
apparently there are a number of people in Santa Cruz who are willing to sign citations.
They're willing
that.
To sign, but they've never taken them to court successfully.
Well, that's a different issue, Robert.
Well, no. The judge would decide whether the law applies. Now, unfortunately, in some cases, as we've seen, judges don't make fair decisions.
That's
Dave,
true.
I want to thank you for your call. Anything final before I cut you off in the, at the throat?
Yeah,
sort of
man. Meditate on this, man. You know, water's been around a long time, and so have drums, okay? You drink water, we play drums, okay? We're not going to stop. And whoever it is that thinks we're going to stop, well, I sure hope they get a clue that they better turn off and get throw away all their musical iPods and whatever, and remember that music is a form of art, and this is Santa Cruz.
Well, Dave, keep us posted. I'm going to try to write something about the drum circle online fairly soon, and maybe we'll see you again, but please call in with any further reports. I'll be coming back on Sunday.
Yeah, and Rob, I hope you got the Timothy Leary interview I posted there.
I believe it has been received in the studio and perhaps on Sunday. Who knows? I may bring out that old goat and his LSD-ish activity soon.
Yes, which a lot of people need to listen to, that's for sure. Right. So, hey, take care, man. Bye.
Thanks, Dave. Again, regarding the matter you came in to talk about, and thank you, Dennis, for doing that, I'd love to get you involved in an exchange with somebody who is more knowledgeable than I on this issue.
Well, it's important to remember who Cove Britton is.
Yeah, well,
Cove Britton is an architect, and he derives his money from people who build big, huge homes.
Now, are you familiar with Cove Britton's specific clients, or do you know about his? Or is he? Some architects design smaller things, some design bigger things, I would imagine.
Well, he's been pushing for years to build mega homes.
So he has a particular history.
Especially over in the avenues. And complaining when the planning department tells him that these structures are too big. And
he could have a special interest in this, but there could be others whose interests more
well,
closely...
Well, read his campaign material.
Right. Well, right. I'm saying, but the people concerned about... We're talking about the Board of Permit Appeals, Dan Bronson, and the question of whether County Board of Supervisors properly eliminated that board and took over its functions. We've had some debate about that, and hopefully we'll have some more debate. We did have a caller, but I don't think we do anymore.
Okay.
So, Dennis, let me thank you again and encourage you. I'll try to get Dan to call in on Sunday. Maybe we can get you to call in.
Sunday is not my day, Robert.
All right. Maybe next Thursday, then. We can get you to come in a little early again, and I'll try to...
Well, you know, set it up. If you can get Mr. Bronson to come
Britton.
On...
Maybe get old Coben to design a studio for us. And then fund it as well. So anyway,
By the way, I believe I was the one who did design the studio.
Ah, well, I don't mind the studio. I find it... familiar, let's put it that
way.
Well,
there were people who didn't appreciate the design.
All right,
here's our caller.
All right, caller, you're on the extended version of Bathrop's Fair. Actually, you're in the middle of Uncle Dennis's show, which I'm also on.
Oh, I know. That's the only reason I called is because Dennis was kind of interpolating, and I didn't feel that a brief comment would necessarily derail you all too much. But I'm just really happy that like, aesthetic issues like finally came up like in regarding like the drum circle and other things like this, you know, because it's just interesting because those issues are totally subjective. Yet, but it's really good to bring them up because there's nothing wrong with telling someone that the sounds they're making really aren't artistic to your ears, and essentially it's a bunch of clanging. But then, in some ways, certain types of avant-garde music sounds to untutored ears is essentially like the same thing as untutored clanging. Like you could put Stockhausen on, and half of the people would call in saying it's untutored clanging when they themselves, the untutored clanging is the going on the onboard computer inside their brain because of the lack of understanding of music. Norms. Do you know what I mean? So it's a totally interesting issue.
Well,
but I thought
you said that half the people would call in complaining. And
then yeah, they could.
The other side of that statement is the other half of the people would call in and say, I like avant-garde music, and this is particularly interesting clanging.
But there are people who like the drum circle. I mean, there are people who show up there every week to dance and to enjoy it. And there are people who come from the farmer's market who are young children and just tourists who enjoy it. So I think there is a variety of opinions about it.
No, that are all valid. They really are. And one opinion that doesn't, to me, appear valid was that totally Orwellian story about the Millions of Dead Cops concert. Like, man, I don't even live in Santa Cruz right now, and it got me hot under the collar. People should have been fired from the police department. That was totally inappropriate, an absolute violation, not only of the contract I'm sure that they signed as a traveling band, and I've been part of such traveling bands. That was angering from a musical, from a musician standpoint, from the First Amendment, just the fact that you should be able to say anything in art. The fact that they even see the statement of Millions of Dead Cops as inappropriate in an artistic context is totally fucking mush-mind, man. That is way fucking backward, and that was a terrible, that was a sad lowlight of Santa Cruz history.
A repeating phenomenon, apparently.
A repeating phenomenon, and they even came back here to play after that. Regardless of who likes them or not, it's pretty nice of them to even come back to a town that treated them that way. You know what I mean?
Well, the promoter thought he could sell enough tickets to pay the band to come down here. Unfortunately, when the cops shut down the show, the promoter still has to pay the band.
You know, it's interesting. I think next time it should be Santa Cruz, the city that banned the
MDC.
Band. You know, maybe they can make them a big show. This time we can do it on Pacific Avenue. But then again, you know, we might invite the glassmakers to come on down, too. And
why doesn't the ACLU undertake that as a possible, case or something like that? I mean, that definitely seems something that ought to be litigated and dealt with in the context of where you could bite back at the police department on that, because that's a very strange precedent. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It got massive coverage in the Sentinel, of course. That is to say, nothing.
Yeah, that's just too bad. And anyway, I'm going to let you guys go on, because I know you have some other things to do, but I've been appreciating what you've been presenting, and I just wish there was something that we could do about situations like that, because that was truly Orwellian. I mean, it did remind me of, it was like thought crime for them to play these songs about John Wayne being a Nazi or whatnot. That's just weird, man. That was a very strange...
At least we had every police department in the community responding, and apparently very quickly. Unlike when the poor wind merchants, Urban Outfitters windows are being broken out, and they take their Dell Williams jewelers. It takes so long to respond.
The difference being that I'm sure that promoter did some advanced publicity of the MDC show. The cops knew that, at midnight we're going to meet down there and bust some heads.
It's
whereas when the quote unquote anarchists were running around downtown breaking windows, the police department
called them vandals rather than anarchists.
Vandals. Okay, yeah. When the vandals were running around downtown breaking windows, the cops had to organize ad hoc a response to that, and apparently it took them 15 or 20 minutes to collect enough police officers to think that they could handle the situation.
Remember what Scott said. He said that this came out of a security guard's complaint who called the police. The inference was that, if I understood our caller correctly, it happened as a consequence of a phone call from a security guard, not as a prearranged deal. But it sounds
get that kind of police response.
It depends.
In a few minutes.
Millions of dead cops playing might get a lot of cops coming down there real fast if they suddenly heard it was on the radio. Let's go get them.
Yeah, but even then, it takes them a while to drive from Aptos and downhill from the campus. I mean,
that's true. Of course, we didn't get the time frame too clear. Maybe I can grill Scott later on this issue.
No, but that did. I mean, I'm a little with Dennis on that. I know we don't have all the facts, but that many cops kind of just popping up right there, that seems a little coordinated. It does. But who knows?
It's a tribute to the terrorist alert we're under at this time. Thank you very much for calling in, DJ Embryo.
Embryo. Thank you for the show, and I'm looking forward to the cream and the dregs. Of course.
Thanks. And that's coming up next from the cream to the dregs, or actually in this case is from the dregs to the cream. If you like Dennis's show more than mine. Or perhaps you like both of them. Hopefully that's the case. Dennis, thanks for being on my show. Thanks for giving me an extra 12 minutes.
No problem, Robert. I just wish we'd had a chance to have some substantive discussion.
Yeah, and again, for people who were not clear about what we were talking about, and the question is, does the Board of Permit Appeals at the county level, which was It was a group that was...
It wasn't...
It was concerned with...
It's a board of building code appeals, not permit appeals.
From the perspective of its advocates, it was a way of trying to rein in abusive behavior by the county planning department. And since I have little... I'm hostile to the planning department from a number of agencies. I'm hostile to a number of the county officials because I think they're absurdly overpaid and abusive in many ways. But we need to have a specific discussion of whether...
Well, let's see how this impacts low-income people.
You know.
I tossed that burning grapefruit to you.
Burning grapefruit. Okay. Well, I don't like grapefruit, and it's too hot for me to handle, so I want to thank you. Encourage you folks who have been listening to this and want to can check it out, the archived edition at www.huffsantacruz.org in about a day. Call me on the Huff line if you want to have me huff at you, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Come back on Sunday if you want to hear some more of this stuff, 9:30 in the morning, here on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yawn.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye, Robert.
All right.
Just one.